The U.S. Supreme Court rejected part of Wisconsin's redistricting plan yesterday. That plan was drafted by Governor Tony Evers and approved by the Wisconsin Supreme Court earlier this month. But in an unsigned order yesterday, a majority of justices sent the maps back to the state Supreme Court, leaving Wisconsin with no legislative maps weeks before candidates are set to start running in the state's new districts. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to this ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court? Do you want to see the state go with these maps from Governor Evers? So state Republicans, a different set of maps altogether. What questions do you have about how this works, what it means? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, welcome back.
Hey, Rob.
Well, here we are redistricting again. Sean, another in a long series of twists and turns here. Two decisions technically from the court. One yes, one no. Sort those out for us, first of all, please.
Yeah, so the decision on the congressional redistricting plan was the simplest one to explain because there were two appeals filed before the U.S. Supreme Court, one on the legislative redistricting plan, one on the congressional. And the court just basically told Republicans who filed the appeal in the congressional case, no, we're not going to hear this case. We're not going to issue a stay to block the state Supreme Court's map. And I mean, there was no explanation of the order. They just denied it, which is pretty common with the U.S. Supreme Court. So that is not officially done. But when the U.S. Supreme Court tells you we're not going to hear your appeal, Republicans appealing that map are kind of running out of options. The other decision, though, is that the U.S. Supreme Court rejected the legislative redistricting plan that was approved by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that was drawn by Governor Tony Evers under, you know, a framework that the state Supreme Court established, this least changes framework. And the U.S. Supreme Court said that Evers and the state Supreme Court made a mistake in the way that they applied the Federal Voting Rights Act here. They didn't follow precedent in applying the Voting Rights Act to justify the drawing of seven majority black assembly districts in Milwaukee. So there are a lot of ways the case could go from there, but the court sent it back to the state Supreme Court right now. And so at this point, we are waiting to see what the state Supreme Court is going to do, how it's going to proceed with just a few weeks to go before people are circulating nominating petitions.
Yeah, we'll look at some of those options in a bit. I want to get into why this ended up in the U.S. Supreme Court. Just a quick version. The legislature, Republican-led legislature, passed their maps. The governor vetoed them, so it's going to go to courts. And Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, there were cases brought to the state Supreme Court by Republicans saying this should be decided in the state Supreme Court. And then you mentioned the least changes thing. That was another case brought to the state Supreme Court. So that set the stage. That's why it came to the state Supreme Court first, right?
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple paths that it could go down. And once the state Supreme Court said, yes, we will handle redistricting here, a federal court case that was going basically paused to wait for the state case to move forward. Then November, the state Supreme Court said, we are going to take a least changes approach to redistricting. So they didn't have to do that, but that is the path that they chose. And what that meant was whatever map that the state Supreme Court adopted was going to be very similar to the map that the legislature passed and former Governor Scott Walker signed in 2011. In other words, it's going to have a Republican lean. It's just a matter of how much. And so that took us to this year and what range of options the state Supreme Court might choose. The state Supreme Court chose the map drawn by Governor Tony Evers. So not a Democratic map, but not the most Republican map by any stretch of the imagination. And then Republican lawmakers immediately appealed that decision and made an argument that, you know, kind of stuck with the U.S. Supreme Court, arguing basically that the state Supreme Court got it wrong in the way that it applied the Federal Voting Rights Act here. So it's not to say that the U.S. Supreme Court declared there was a federal Voting Rights Act violation mm-hmm. in this map, just that the way that the state court got to its decision, the way that it showed its work, basically, is what one expert told me. It wasn't enough to satisfy Supreme Court precedent here. So the state Supreme Court got to go back to the drawing board.
Talking to Sean Johnson, WPR Capitol Bureau Chief, looking at the latest on Wisconsin's election maps. The U.S. Supreme Court rejected the maps that apply to our state legislature, the Assembly and the Senate. And now, question mark, you could join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions, with your questions. That's 800-642-1234. How should we draw these maps here in Wisconsin? Do we need to change it? Do you like the system as it is? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Okay, Sean, U.S. Supreme Court says Wisconsin Supreme Court, at least show your work. What are the options? What could they do now?
So they're already getting suggestions, very helpful suggestions by the governor, by the legislature. Actually, you know, it is the other case, but those Republican members of Congress also filed something with the state Supreme Court and said, hey, why don't you reconsider the decision from earlier? Let's start that over. But we'll stay focused on the legislative stuff right now. The governor is saying, state Supreme Court, let's fully brief this matter and, you know, we can file everything by April 1st. That'll give you time to make a decision on, you know, which maps can go forward. And Evers is basically saying you can still work from my plan as the foundation of whatever you decide. That if you wanted to come up with a briefing that will satisfy the Voting Rights Act requirements that were laid out by the U.S. Supreme Court, we can do that. We can argue this in court, or we can brief it. You can issue your decision based on that. We can go there. Evers is also saying, if you don't want to do that, you know, we could also just adjust the Milwaukee part of the map, because that's where this Voting Rights Act dispute is centered. It's on these Milwaukee districts. Evers is saying, you know, one thing we could do is instead of having seven black majority districts in Milwaukee, we could maybe do six districts if the court wanted to go that way. You know, throwing out these options that will essentially preserve most of the map that Evers drew, that the state Supreme Court adopted in early March, but that will basically kind of get this thing moved on and be done with it. The legislature is taking a far different approach. They're saying, hey, let's just go with our map. I mean, they're saying that the governor's map lost in the U.S. Supreme Court. Let's not try to recover it. Let's just go with the one that passed the legislature. Mind you, this is the map that passed the legislature last year and was vetoed by the governor. So it's not like that has unanimous support.
Now, this is an election year, Sean, and the clock's ticking. I read some reports online of local clerks kind of hanging their heads because they just finished drawing their ward maps. Now maybe have to draw them again. What's the timeline here?
Well, I mean, we've already blown past the timeline that the Wisconsin Elections Commission initially told the court. They said that they wanted to have maps in place by March 1st so that they could get ready for circulating nominating petitions. Then when this was appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, the Elections Commission said, okay, March 15th. March 15th is when we would like a decision. Blew past that deadline. Now we're at the point of, I don't know what the real deadline is, but I do know that on April 15th, candidates are scheduled to begin circulating nominating petitions. So, you know, the less time that the Elections Commission has to get prepared for that date, presumably the more difficult it will be, because that is kind of the hard deadline. And, you know, that is something that the courts have considered, particularly the U.S. Supreme Court has considered in the past when it comes to making changes related to an election. They have, at least since 2006, tried to shy away from that under this idea called the Purcell Principle, where you don't want to make disruptive mm-hmm. changes close to an election. In this case, though, they, you know, made a 7-2 ruling where, you know, on this Federal Voting Rights Act challenge, they said this is something you have to fix.
We're talking to Sean Johnson, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief, with us today to talk about the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to throw out a redistricting plan from Governor Evers for the state legislature that was approved by the state Supreme Court. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to this decision? Do you like our system of drawing maps in Wisconsin? What do you think of that least change idea, basically building the current maps based on the same ones that were passed just over 10 years ago? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about Wisconsin's election maps after a plan from Governor Evers was partially rejected by the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday and sent back to the state Supreme Court. The map of congressional districts still stands, but the state assembly and state senate districts, we don't know what's going to happen there. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Sean Johnson stays with us, our Capital Bureau Chief here at WPR. Let's bring out a caller now. Nate is with us in Milwaukee. Nate, hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Granted, I would just like nonpartisan people to do the redistricting in general. So I think if somehow this resulted in that for the state legislature, it'd be a great thing. If that doesn't happen, I probably would stick with the governor's map since that's the least bad. And I think he has the option of saying, look, this is okay. Let me just explain why, to sum it up. But I'm partly curious if this is basically the U.S. Supreme Court almost legislating from the bench, because we haven't had in Wisconsin, I believe, a lot of trouble before the maps are even in place with violating basically minority rights. And in this situation, I don't think we were. If anything, minority districts went up. So that's like saying there were, too many?
Nate, thanks for the call. And Nate's getting into the heart of the Supreme Court objection here related to the Voting Rights Act, Sean. This part of the Voting Rights Act was mainly intended for places in the Deep South, the former Confederacy, where lines were drawn to help make sure no black people ended up in legislatures, state or federal. Now the question is it too many districts with majority black populations when you go up from, 6 to 7?
Yeah, there's 6 majority black assembly districts on the map right now, and the governor's map would add another, so you'd have 7. And so the issue here is that the Supreme Court has said that under the Equal Protection Clause, you can't draw districts based solely on race, unless there's, for lack of a better term, like a really good reason. And so that really good reason can be satisfied by showing the court, look, under the Federal Voting Rights Act, we do need to make sure that we have majority black districts drawn to give black voters the chance to elect their candidate of choice. And so, drawing 7 when you haven't shown the need under this test that the Supreme Court has developed over the years is where the violation, if there was one, Republicans are saying could occur, that you have to go through this process to show that there is a need to draw these additional districts. Otherwise, if you're drawing a district based solely on race, then that could violate the U.S. Constitution. It gets really technical and complicated in a hurry. And this is the way that a lot of redistricting cases end up, too. I mean, we did have a very prominent national redistricting case in Wisconsin that was easier to understand a few years ago, where they were challenging this idea of whether a map can be too partisan. And, and the Supreme Court ultimately said in another case, we're not going to get involved in that kind of stuff. But before that, Wisconsin's 2012 remap was challenged, and it ultimately boiled down to a Voting Rights Act challenge where a federal court changed a couple districts in Milwaukee. That's how these things often end up. And it looks like how this one is ending up this time around, too.
Thanks for the call, Nate, at 800-642-1234. Kyle joins us now in DeForest. Kyle, hi.
Hi. I think it's just ridiculous that we're even having this argument. There's not anything in the world that I can think of, not sports, not gambling, well, except at casinos, that you can stack the deck in your favor. And it's fair. It's not cheating because, you know, if we stack the deck in sports in our favor, it's cheating. If it's just indefensible that cheating, political or not, should be allowed.
Kyle, thanks for the call. And by stacking the deck, Sean, I think he means when lawmakers, whether it's Republicans controlling a state or Democrats, are drawing districts to determine who can vote for them.
Yeah, and I mean, when you control, when the legislature or one party controls all of state government, as they did in 2011, there really is very little in state law. I guess nothing in state law at the federal level that prevents them from drawing a map that favors them. So, you know, it very much is a situation where they are permitted under the law to give themselves a very big political edge when it comes to redistricting. Now, when there's split control of state government, as there is right now, and you're getting into these issues like the Voting Rights Act, like what does it mean to be least changes? It's a little less straightforward, but yeah, redistricting does reward parties if they win elections at the right time, and those rewards can last for generations.
Sounds like a good subject for a podcast.
It does. You can listen to Mapped Out from WPR if you'd like to. WPR.org/mapped out.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Sean Johnson is with us, our Capital Bureau Chief here at WPR, co-creator of the Mapped Out, co-host of the Mapped Out podcast. Still time for your calls on this U.S. Supreme Court decision rejecting part of our election map here in Wisconsin that had been agreed to by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the part that applies to our state legislature. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Got a few comments there. Eric says, I have very little confidence that the U.S. mediocre court nor the Wisconsin mediocre court will deliver a constitutionally viable option. Andrew writes, we need fair, non-gerrymandered districts. No more representatives choosing their voters. Dan says, this is excellent. The Wise Court rejected gerrymandering in favor of freedom. Share your comment over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Okay, Sean, we know the state Supreme Court's got to do something. You laid out some of the options. Does this potentially put things back on the table to go back into those federal court lawsuits at this point?
I think if the map had gone forward as is and had not been completely rejected by the U.S. Supreme Court, you probably could have seen a federal Voting Rights Act challenge move forward from somebody in federal court before that April 15th deadline. It's a little speculation at this point because right now you've got a state court trying to deal with what it means to comply with that federal law in the U.S. Constitution. But I think if Wisconsin politics has taught us anything, it's just that it's never over, right? And so even once the state Supreme Court resolves this with whatever it decides to do, whether it be basically preserving the governor's plan and showing their homework, just making changes to the Milwaukee districts, adopting the legislature's plan, whatever they do, there would still be potentially a window for a federal court challenge. And, you know, redistricting is the issue that just never stops.
Let's bring on one more caller. Robert is with us in Glendale. Robert, hi.
Hi. I was curious, following this case a little bit, that none of the Republican challengers even hinted at bringing up the independent state legislature doctrine, which has been floating around and has gotten some currency on the right and on the Supreme Court. And it seemed it would have been a natural place for them to go, but nobody went there.
Robert, thanks for the call. Yeah, the way that we do the maps here, it's just like any other state law, right? The legislature passes it, the governor signs it or vetoes it. The idea of just the state legislature going it alone hasn't come up as an option as far as I know, Sean.
Yeah, but the dissenting justices in the state Supreme Court's decision definitely brought it up. So the state Supreme Court, when it sided with Evers, when it chose his maps earlier this month, that opinion was written by conservative swing justice Brian Hagedorn, who, by the way, is going to be the justice to watch this time around, too. And it was joined by the court's three liberal justices. The other conservatives dissented. And in one of those dissents by Justice Rebecca Bradley, you had this very vocal suggestion. I don't know if it was a total embrace, but saying, hey, maybe we need to revisit this 1964 unanimous state Supreme Court decision where the court said, no, the legislature can't do redistricting on its own. And she kind of floated the idea that maybe it could, that maybe the legislature could just do redistricting without the governor as a joint resolution. It wasn't an answer that the court was willing to hear in 1964. It's not something that people, Republicans, have pushed very hard this time around, but it's something that you had a few justices on this current state Supreme Court say they might be open to that when this was heard and decided in March, earlier March.
In our last few moments, Sean, what's the timeline? Has the state Supreme Court given any hint as to when they will tackle this?
Right. I've been trying to refresh the court's website here to see if they've offered any hints. At the moment that we are speaking, they have not. But you have the legislature, the governor, Republican members of Congress all sending these suggestions in here. So I have to think that the state Supreme Court is going to say soon what it wants to see as far as the timeline. And then they're going to have to make an expedited decision here.
Sean, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
That was WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson with us today to talk about what comes next for Wisconsin's election district lines after the U.S. Supreme Court rejected state legislative maps from Governor Evers, approved by the state Supreme Court. In a separate order, the court upheld Evers' congressional district maps, also approved by the state Supreme Court.